Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And it's time to get your elbows up. Canada, Trump, tariffs. What's BC doing? What's Doug Ford doing? What is anybody doing?
All that on Unspun today. Oh, what is the point? In our pre-show chat, we both had an interesting conversation with investment people recently, which gave me some hope. They said, there's the politics, and then there's, the whole tariff thing and investments. And said, look to the European stock market, look to Hong Kong. He said, in Europe, they're going to be like spend right now. So that's going to stimulate the European economy big time because of Ukraine. So that's going to stimulate the economy. That's going to improve their stock market. He was saying when they kind of knew Trump might win the election back in October, as an organization, an investment organization, they decided on inauguration day, they would begin the divestment of U.S. Based stocks and bonds and all those stuff, because they knew it was going to be a nightmare, and put it all into Europe and to Hong Kong, and even Canada said, it's not as bad off as the New York Stock Exchange and so on. So, I was like, he said, it's hard. He said, I know it's hard to separate these two things and money. But as Canadians, even though the whole threat of invasion, all that stuff, if you're a portfolio manager, or if you do your own investments, look to Europe, even though it's crazy, but it kind of gave me a bit of hope that maybe it's not as chaotic, and that Trump eventually will come up with something and say, did it. We did it, everybody. Whatever.
Yeah. Having my conversation with my financial advisor, and I know this is like a privileged conversation when it comes to like financial advisors, because not everybody has one. I have one because I happen to have family members who are in that industry, and in no way, shape, or form would I have had somebody the level of advisor that I had if I didn't have family who said, hey, can you take on her? So they've taught me a lot. And one of the biggest lessons is don't live and die by the daily numbers. You have to be investing long term. There's a reason why that you assess your risk going in, and everybody's going to see things fluctuating right now because we've seen markets tumble at record highs, and largely U.S., the Dow and the NASDAQ. And when we're talking about U.S. markets, that is what has always been the beacon, right? We'd always look at the U.S. markets as everything. With this Trump presidency, with these sort of very chaotic influences, headwinds, whatever you want to call them, that are impacting markets, all norms have been thrown out the window. So the good news, two things that he said to me that really left me feeling like, okay, we can do this. Number one, this too shall end. It will. Yes, it's going to be a very uncomfortable next 3.5 years. There's no doubt it will be, because even if things correct and a deal is made, the very next day it can be ripped up, because we had a deal and it got ripped up. But the number two is that this individual who is causing unprovoked chaos in our country, on an agenda that we don't even really understand fully. I mean, we can guess to it, but nobody knows.
Fucking lies.
Right?
Lies.
You know what? He has underestimated the unity of Canadians. And this country, the polls show it. The amount of unity we have seen. I mean, let's get into Canadian stuff now here on Unspun. Yeah.
As we record, Doug Ford is in America right now. We don't know how the results of that. So that will happen after the show, but he's down there with this negotiation and Premier of Ontario. So
just going to finish my thought before we hop into that, George. You're cutting my segues off, my friend, because my segue is that we are going to continue to talk about Trump, because you pretty much can't talk about anything on this planet without mentioning the U.S. president. But it is important that we focus on what we can impact in this country. And you and I, as we sit in British Columbia, do not have a vote in Ontario, whether or not Doug Ford speaks for our auto industry. Doug Ford has positioned himself in an interesting way in this moment of time where one prime minister is leaving and the other one is designate. And if mm-hmm. you're watching this on Friday, maybe Mark Carney is the prime minister officially now. But so let's get into how that happened in Ontario. Set the scene, because you kind of did the punchline of where he is now. But yeah. for someone who has not watched the news at all, what happened between Ontario and the U.S. president in terms of threats and trade war?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because we talked about this last week about Pierre Poilievre maybe, you know, not being as strong as Doug Ford and being so clear. And so Doug Ford immediately said he was going to do the 25%, you know, exit tariff on the U.S. on hydro from Ontario into those three states, which was very aggressive. And you know, and then the next day or within hours, he said, I've pulled back because they've said they want to talk.
Hold on. He added the exit tariff and then it got ramped up by the U.S. president. And then Doug Ford said, you know what? Actually, on Monday, we're turning it off. We're going to turn off the switch. No electricity for those three really important border states. And then continue.
Well, and then and apparently they called and said, let's talk. And he's the way he positioned. It's funny how you, if you watch the version in the States, it's a completely different version. It's like Doug Ford saying, I said, you know, let's talk. Sure. I don't mind pausing this if you want to have a real conversation, which is what's happening right now, apparently. And then, but of course, you know, in the States, letting the guy who's the basically a tariff guru is going on. The president tweeted and Doug Ford, you know, bowed to the pressure. And it's like, okay, whatever. Like,
Wasn't that weird to watch the spin?
Like,
yeah, the spin was weird because I watched it all happening live. And Doug Ford was like, you know what? At every negotiation, things get heated before you sit down face to face and you look to cooler heads to prevail. Yeah. And we're going to go and we're going to sit down and we're going to, you know, because we've amped this up, both sides has amped this up to the heated position. And now it's time to see if we can cool it off with respect and a conversation. And then turn on US news and there's Donald Trump going, we hit back, they caved. It's like, oh God, okay, all right. So how do we make Canadians, it so they feel like they win? Oh, my Lord.
Not many Canadians would have thought Doug Ford would be a diplomat.
No. Important to note, George, and you know this better than most, knowing the depth and breadth of politics, premiers do not negotiate on behalf of the federal government. In the second speech that Premier Doug Ford gave on the subject of going to Washington with Dominic LeBlanc.
Yeah, he is going with
Dominic. So he is going with Dominic LeBlanc. He's like, I am going down to represent Ontario and on behalf of premiers of this country, and I am in conversation with the premiers, and I do not speak for Canada. So it's like, ooh.
Yeah, I know. And then we're in this limbo moment because we get our new prime minister tomorrow afternoon, and then you look at all the ridiculous tweets and posts about, you know, this unelected prime minister, and oh my God, it's like, get to know our system, please. Just so many bots, so many Russian bots, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You just see
actually, there was a news alert that went out just this morning warning Canadians about the level of incoming interference that will be hitting your social media that will try and bend you away from unity. If something is coming at you like that, you want to block it, report it, get away from it. Certainly don't amplify it. It is more important than ever before to triple check anything that rolls in, because it might look like it's legit and it's not. It may look like it's written by a legitimate, like you can see screen caps and you go search those handles and they don't show up. Like everybody almost needs to have a little bit of journalistic standard here and really focus in on what is and isn't. And let's talk a little bit, if you will, because Curve Communications, your company, you do a lot of work in the political lane when it comes to campaigns and strategic strategies. Like Mark Carney, named by a massive majority, like unbelievable number of votes, percentage of people who voted. He won in a landslide. His, you know, Chrystia Freeland got like 8% to his 86%. Like it was some crazy number like that. And to be elected as Liberal leader. So if you want to talk mandates, he's got one in that representing that party. Almost immediately, the attack ads began. How do you think Canadians are feeling about attack ads in the current environment, maybe differently than pre-Trump tariffs?
It's tricky. They still work, you know, negative kind of ads. The plan, I think, you know, with the Conservatives, and it's really when they had the leg up, when they were way ahead on the polls, they didn't need to be too negative, but they would still want to ensure that the competence of the previous government was at question because you're still in opposition. So, I mean, it's a campaign. We're in an election campaign. You know, the writ's not dropped, but we are in an election campaign. We're pre-writ at this moment. You know, we're going to have an election probably by June, if not earlier. So we're pre-writ, which means it's always kind of negative. Yeah, does it work? Is it a good idea? I don't know. I mean, I think it's you still got to do it. You still got to get people's heated. Otherwise, you basically can't win. Because if they don't see, if you don't resonate as the party that wants to, you know, take over, then you don't resonate. You don't get it. And also, you need to build lists when you're in the pre-writ. You need to build out your. This is your opportunity pre-writ before they put in all the restrictions when it comes to financing.
Right.
To be able to spend a lot of money to build your lists. So you kind of do a lot of negative stuff in order to build your lists in order to then get out the vote, which is what it's all about at the end of the day. And so that's kind of what we're at right now. Pre-writ. Usually quite negative. It's about building databases and lists, get all the angry people who you know will vote for you to be sure they vote out. So, you know, and I think I talked about this last week where I think, you know, Poilievre shouldn't be speaking to his base anymore. He needs to speak to the mushy middle, as we always talk about. But Canada, Vancouver is a microcosm. BC is a microcosm of Canada. Canada's very, the center, and it's actually the case in the States too, really. Center is where, you know, that independent vote, the one that swings, that's who you got to court at this point. And I think that Poilievre during this crisis has worried too much about his base and lost touch with what the majority of Canadians were feeling. So obviously we know how Alberta was feeling. If you do that, look at that poll, you can see it doesn't reflect the overall views of Canada. And Alberta is really where Poilievre feels comfortable, even, you know, and that's his base, but it's not reflective of what's really going on in a country and how you win in Ontario. You look at Doug Ford, massive majority. Everybody loves Doug Ford. Even Liberals and NDP, you know, love Doug Ford right now. And because he found a way to communicate the message and he's quite negative. I mean, he's talking about the States, of course, but he found a way to make it truly Canadian. And I think that's the opportunity. And whether, you know, whether, you know, Poilievre or whether our new prime minister as of noon tomorrow, we'll find that right route. I mean, they announced today that there will be a meeting. He's going to meet with Trump if he's willing and he feels like it's going to be a good meeting, our new, you know, so we'll see. But yeah, it's just the way politics, but I get what you're saying. It's tough. It's a tough one. It's strategically, it's a tough one. I think you got to balance it. You got to do both somehow at this point in the pre-rip.
What do you think of latest polling numbers in terms of where these two now soon to be candidates stand? Because it is, again, a two-party race, of course.
Yeah, well, campaigns matter, as we always say, Jody. So once that writ drops, then we'll really see, you know, it's 4 weeks till the writ drops, maybe six. So that gives both of them to find their footing. And it also potentially, you know, gives Poilievre time to kind of get his, you know, find a way back to popularity. I think it's really, it would be surprising for him to lose, you know, but I think he could, because I still think there's people are not happy with Liberals, and they look at our finances and they look at all the stuff and they go, what happened? So, and if things calm down in the States, and if, let's say there's a peace treaty in Ukraine, and let's say the tariffs stop, if that, you never know, you never know, then that definitely opens up any possibility. So my God, it's like, who knows? There's no way to predict this stuff, right? We can't. It's madness. It's madness.
Certainly not. Certainly, you know, a couple of months ago, you never would have predicted that we'd be even having a conversation about it being close if a federal election were to be called. Hearing that March 24th, Elections Canada has been alerted to be prepared. We'll see.
So that's March 24th. That's not far.
Yeah, March 24th. That's inside rumblings. That's nothing official that I've seen. Let's bring it back to BC. Mm. David Eby, our premier, has been very busy. Definitely coming for the U.S. president in a very firm way. Last week when we talked, BC had pulled all red state U.S. liquor from the shelves and retaliatory tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now it's all booze.
Did you say that last week that you thought it should be all? What of us? I thought we talked. We thought, why not all states? I think we did ask that
people
question.
I was on radio last week and I had a lot of people saying, I don't understand why they're not just doing all. And the answer to that was because they want people in red states to be screaming to their local elected officials that then take it to the countywide, statewide, you know, get it all the way to the top. That this is hurting us, because ultimately tariffs hurt the people of the country who put the tariffs on. I mean, of course, the instability and what it does to the country who's slapped with the tariffs, but it's all handed down to the end user. So
yeah,
but expanding, I don't know how much grocery shopping or liquor store shopping you've done lately, but I'm really fascinated and surprised walking through a grocery store where, you know what, there's just a full thing of Heinz ketchup and all of the French's ketchup is gone. It's like people have really decided, like leaning in on it. I did. I looked at the russet potatoes. They're all the russet potatoes, 6 pound bag, 10 pound bag, loose russet potatoes. I'm like, oh, I only just need a few of them. The only of those three from Canada were in bags. So I, all right, well, 6 pounds of potatoes it is for me today, and I'll just keep them in the dark, you know, like starting to really look at, I'll buy the things from Mexico. I'll buy the things like it's just American, you know, and it's the little things that we do, I think, that can make change. And I find it interesting watching people shop.
Yeah, it's
going for the maple leaf.
Luckily, I'm the cleaner in the house, not the shopper. So I wouldn't know where to start in the store.
Can you come to my house? I need you to clean my house. You can put my wedding dresses away.
God.
Yeah.
You would
get all my gowns over there.
When Amanda describes my cleaning, she describes it as in the smashing the house into pieces, because it's a violent act, really, when I clean the
house. Is it? Do you put it all back?
Yeah, no, I'm just like, I'm power cleaner, right? It's just like,
right.
The dishwasher is being emptied. It's like, are you trying to smash all the dishes? I'm like, no, I'm getting it done.
You and Brian. I'm like, I like those dishes. Those are my grandmother's. If you wouldn't mind not smashing them, that'd be great. I have more chips and plates since I've been with Brian.
Gives them character.
Another thing that Premier David Eby announced in the last couple of days was a change in the Health Act, where this after the multiple home invasions, you're familiar with this story, where a repeat offender clearly suffering distress, whether it be the effects of chronic drug use or whether he had used at the time. I mean, no one knows what this individual's first full story is at this point. We do know that he terrorized people in their homes and was in position to be set free to do it again, because he's done it before and he's going to do it again, because in his head, it feels like the right thing to do. How do you help someone like that? So we have discussed thousands of times on this podcast, yes, literally since our very first times, podcast. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, mental health care.
The need. And so under the Health Act, there has been a change made, and I don't know all the details of it, but the gist of it is that we're in obvious cases of people who are a danger to themselves and others, repeat offenders, chronic repeat offenders, that involuntary treatment is now an option for law enforcement.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's a big reversal of the 40-year-old policy. 35 years we've had.
35 years, yeah.
I mean, that's good. I mean, hey, I mean, just think that if you've ever personally dealt with anybody with mental health care issues that you can, and you feel like you there's an uncontrollable feeling that you have as a person who's trying to help that person with mental health care issues, it's really, really challenging and frustrating and worrying and all those things to know you can't do much.
Helplessness
for and sure. Some of them, and I know my personal experience with a friend way back, you know, he was going to kill himself, and we had his mom and I had to put him away basically to save him, and it did.
Right,
it did. So, you know, I think that's where we're at. You got to make these tough decisions for people, for their own safety, and for, obviously, as you know, other people's safety potentially.
So anytime we mention suicide, we've got to mention this. If you are in crisis anywhere in Canada, you just call 988. It's kind of like calling 911, but 988 24/7. You can speak with somebody, because whenever talking about suicide, it's important to know that that's triggering for some people. And there's always help at the other end of the line at 988. I can agree with you as somebody who has had a beloved extended family friend who suffered from bipolar disorder, and their disease that took over their body chemistry put them outside of reality, and medication did help. And it was very obvious that the medication helped. It helped so much that they decided they didn't need their medication anymore.
Yes.
And it didn't take long. And so we get into this cycle, right? Mm-hmm. That is really, it's very sad. It's very sad. And the fact that our healthcare system is so plunked right now, it is so difficult to get the care you need. I have had reason to go to the emergency room, not for me, but for my stepdaughter, actually, back in October. And I would say 50% of the people waiting in emergency were having some sort of mental break. Like they just, they had nowhere to go, and they, you know, and they were just, it's such a feeling of helplessness, because the people at the hospital realize that there's nothing to be done for them in the short term. And there's no option for the long term, perhaps until now, because maybe there will be spaces made available for those who need this help so very much. And one day hopefully become a member of society again in a way that is not dangerous to themselves or others. And I think that's the ultimate goal.
Well, it certainly was the case with my friend, and
there you go. Lived
a long, happy life, and then sadly died last year of cancer. But, you know, he was on his deathbed. I went and saw him, and he said, I said, "Are you scared?" He said, "No, I'm about dying." And he said, "No, I'm sad." And, you know, the same person when we were 23 years old wanted to throw himself off my balcony, but with proper medication for the last, you know, and diet and sleep and less stressful life, he ended up living another 40 years of, and you know, as happy as he could be. So
saving lives. 988 if you're ever feeling at your wit's end. We got to talk a little bit more politics. I know it seems sort of like whatever after that, the depth of that conversation, but still more fallout from the ousting of Dallas Brody, John Rustad kicking Dallas Brody out for absolutely horrifically racist comments put online, double down, triple down, repeated it more and more. Others in the conservative BC Conservative caucus standing with Dallas Brody, now people calling for their ouster.
Yes, I would say I texted John Cooper, former park board, you know, chair, and I asked him, "So, John, you gonna do a recall in Dunbar, which is where he's from and grew up, and then take that seat?" And you know, he said, "I can't. You can't do it for 18 months." So, but it sounds like there is not necessarily that he's leading it, but you know, there is a movement. Sounds like afoot for some of these three, potentially all three, but certainly two of them, a recall campaign, which I think is totally possible given the things that they've been saying.
It's wild. It's wild. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard the last of this for sure. Before we go, we want to cap off by...
You're going to go there? Well,
can I?
How can you not? It's a tradition, Jody.
We need like a billboard that rolls in. It's time to talk park board. Okay, so the latest saga of the park board.
We both have something.
We do. Would you want to go first?
It's just, you know, it just bugs me. It's just, and it's not just the park board, it's the city, but it's, you know, that by the science world, the seawall is shut down because the basically the platform and the poles holding the platform is apparently rotting. You know, this is news. So they closed it down. You can't walk on the seawall by Science World anymore. Right. And it's a giant space. And now they've blocked off half of Quebec Street into a, so you got one lane on a main road of Vancouver. And I talked to somebody internally at City Hall. I said, how long is it going to take? You know, thinking, you know, what, 6 months, a year, 2 years, five, 10 years, $20 to $30 million to fix this? 10 years? I mean, there's that little bridge on Granville Island. It's been 5 years. So I guess it makes sense. That it'll take 10 years to fix this. Come on, people. This is, City of Vancouver is known for its seawall. Can we not just prioritize it somehow? Can you find the cash? It's a capital investment. There's ways to do this. Where's the leadership on this? Hello? Because, you know, these are staff. They're just saying, yeah, that's the way it takes, you know, $20 million, and we can't just write a check. So, but the politicians can certainly get to work. So, anyways, it's just shocking. Shocking. Years. But what's your story?
Mine is on the seawall in Stanley Park because it would appear that I'm the caretaker of Stanley Park and our tax dollars. Access. Excuse me. There are three pinch points around Stanley Park where there are those gates. I'm putting my hands up. Those gates that you have to maneuver your way through. Right. And they're built so people on their stupid clip-in road bikes that don't belong speeding around the seawall anyway. Sorry, mm-hmm. but they don't. Instead of those people just riding along on a bike that then slow down and then go through these gates and go the other side, that it's been working for years. The clip-in crew really want these removed so they can speed around the park. Fine. But really this is about people with disabilities who cannot navigate these gates. So at a park board meeting this week, one person was allowed to speak, and this man was so irrational to suggest that they just take out the blockages, take out the gates.
They're literally these metal things. They're like a frame.
Take out the gates. I mean, just take the gates out. See what happens. There's your study. Right. If people are whizzing through there too quickly, put in a speed bump. Hey. Done. That slows people down. Even if you are a clip-in bike rider, you got to slow down enough through these pinch points because they are blind corners. I totally get that. You know what the park board wants to do?
I'm afraid I know the answer.
$880,000 study to figure out what they should do about these three gates on the seawall. And the kicker is nothing will change until 2027.
Oh my God. I can go to Home Depot, buy some concrete and some metal and rebuild those fences so that there's enough room for people with disabilities to get through them without a problem in a weekend. I can do that in a weekend for $25,000.
It's unbelievable. Small shout out to
Amanda's sitting beside me today, by the way, and she's laughing at me right now. She's like, yeah. She's like, you're going to go buy some concrete and you're going to do that.
You're going to get there with a jackhammer and get it fixed. By the way, shout out to the horrible planning at Tatlow Park as well, where a generation of small children will not have access to one of the coolest teeny tiny little parks that the kids at the littlest point in their lives, it's constantly full of strollers and moms and dads and just... They've completely overdone this and they've planned building it at the most useful time to the community as opposed to doing it all through the winter. Appears, George, we can't build things unless it's spring or summer in Vancouver. It's an absolute ridiculous
The weather in the summer is the same as the winter. It's like it rains.
It's a gong show. Yeah. Last minute of play in the... third period, get your kids vaccinated. Measles, mumps, rubella. We got measles on the rise. Children are dying. Don't be dumb. How about that? Was that a PSA enough for you?
That's some PSA.
Thanks.
Quote. Thanks. Quote.
I guess it's my Canucks PA announcer skills that are coming out at me. You can find us online anytime. George is on Twitter. George_Affleck at George_Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on your Twitter. We're all on the Instagram and the TikTok and all the things and the blue sky and whatever. So find us, but mostly share this Unspun podcast, like and subscribe, tell your friends. We talk about the things that matter on our kitchen table. Try not to panic over Trump. We're going to make it through. We will. We got to take care of one another.
Do this.
Bye.